Thanks, Baddies. I think just to introduce myself, because I see a lot of faces that I do not know. My name is Henry, married to Brigitta, that's sitting there in the mom's room. We have a little 11, nearly, everybody thought it's already a birthday, but nearly 1 year old little Dharmiki, or little one. They said that the first year she's a baby and then she becomes like something else, different species. So I'm looking forward to the toddler years. I serve as one of the elders in this congregation. I've been serving on a full-time capacity on eldership for the past 2-3 years and been a part of Josh Gen for the last 11 years of my life. So I'm quite a part of the furniture. But yeah, firstly, before I jump in, I can't say older people, but I can say more mature people we have in our midst, and the parents, just from my side, let's give them a hand. Yeah, it's amazing. Okay, they say the battery is almost flat. But just from my side, I want to say welcome to you guys. It's always great when parents visit us, because I think it's important for us that you guys also see what Zaria and Jana and you guys are a part of, and that there's something of that this is their family away from home. And we dearly love them and dearly love you guys. And yeah, appreciate you guys can just being here and enjoy the time with us. So, Jesse, thank you. What a champion. So this evening, I'm quite excited to continue our mini-series on the picture that we've been using of team, the concept of a team, a sports team. And 3 weeks ago, we started this series by looking at what does it mean to be a part of Team Jesus? Actually, how do we know that we are born again and we are part of the people of God, and that on that last day when we get before Him, that He would look at us and say, well done, my good and faithful servant. And as the theologians would say, it is the doctrine of assurance, having a surety that we know that we will be with Him. And then we considered some tests according to Scripture, what the Bible shows us as great tests to measure ourselves against. And the Bible says that we need to examine ourselves to see whether or not we are in the faith. And then last week, Ulrich preached, he knocked it out of the park. It was such a great message that he continued the series. Now that we are formed a part of Team Jesus, we are on the team, we're in the kingdom of God, how does these relationships look like? With a brother and a sister and a woman, a tani, and with all of us being together now, what does it mean to be of one heart and of one mind and of one purpose, and the unity that Francois spoke about, and about laying down our lives? And we are called a Joshua generation, meaning that ultimately all of us exist to fight for one another in the kingdom of God. That the Joshua generation was a generation that all the 11 tribes fought for one tribe to enter into the blessings and the promises of God, and their success was everyone's success. So likewise with us, we trust that we would be a people of God coming so closely knitted together that we would fight for one individual to walk in the more of God, and that means we all walk in the more of God. Amen. So please go listen to that. Yeah, Ulrich really gave an excellent message. And tonight we're going to focus on the next aspect of finding your position on Team Jesus. And I am, I'm incredibly excited for this. And this is actually, and I'm definitely not joking, about a 2-3 hour preach that I have that we're not going to do all tonight. Some of you are like, hallelujah. But we want to take this message over the course of this term and actually unravel it and consider Scripture, because I think it's such a key for us as Christians to truly know what we are called to, what is our position on the team, how the Lord has formed us and shaped us and molded us, not only to exist or coexist with other human beings, but there's something of a purpose for every individual in this room if you are a believer. And if you are a non-believer and you're still considering Christianity and you're considering the things of God, I want to say there's a purpose for you as well. And the purpose is that God desires all mankind to be saved. There's a purpose for you to have a living relationship with the Lord. So I've seen being a part of church and even seeing in my own life two extremes when it comes to finding your position on Team Jesus. On the one extreme, I've seen those that have been in the faith. They are born again, they are Christians, but they're not in the fight because they don't know their position in the Lord. They don't know why they exist. They come on a Wednesday. They come on a Sunday. They watch church. I call them kerkkijkers. They kijk kerk every single week. And they watch church. And they're like sponges and sucking up the knowledge. But they never apply it in their life. And it creates a passiveness to our Christianity. And I believe the Lord is calling us actually to more rather than less. And then I've seen over the years, these individuals that's taken hold of the truths of God, that God has spoken over them, they've discovered what God has placed on them and want to come and do through them. And I've seen them excel in the things of God and grow in maturity because they have purpose. And I'm quite a person that I really, really suck at doing things that I find purposeless. There's something in knowing that that what I do have everlasting purpose. That it's not just for this life. It's not just for a salary. It's not just to have a bank statement looking great. But there's something of significance and eternal kingdom significance when we come to our God. And we find in Ephesians 1:10 the following verse that says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Is that the right verse? That's 1 verse 2. Sorry, it is 2 verse 10. Ephesians 2 verse 10. That's the right verse. You can go write that down. But Ephesians 2 verse 10 comes from verse 1. That writes about how sinful we were and how far we were from God. And then it goes on, I think, from about verse 3 or 4. Then it continues about the great work of God saving us. And now that we are saved, it's not just that we are being, in a sense, adopted or being saved or being transformed. And although all of those things are true, Christianity is more than that. And it's actually about doing as well. Then it speaks about in verse 2, verse 10, it speaks about that we get to do good works. That God has planned out certain purposes and plans before the foundation of the earth and laid it before you to do. There's a mission for every single one of us. And I believe God is calling us to discover that individually. And as we discover that individually, corporately, we will start to shine and flourish and be that city on the hill that the Lord is calling us. So let's see how far we get this evening and then we jump in. So I just have a couple of points and things that I would love to share. So number one, I want to say that Christianity is not a spectator sport. Can I get a amen? Yeah, radical charismatics. Yeah, Anton asked me, was it last week? He asked me, can I scream in church or can I ask questions in church? I'm like, might be inappropriate, so ask afterwards, but you can scream. You can say amen. So he's making me feel good. But we live in South Africa, and for those that are not from South Africa, there's something in the South African schools that once a year happens, okay? And it's called interschools, okay? Interskole. And interschools is this, that once a year, your school would, in a sense, do a sports event against a rival school, and like your whole existence of high school is pinpointed to this one rugby or netball or hockey or whatever match, and you are pinnacle of your experience of school is to beat those people and to win interschools. Can I get an amen? Okay. I wanted to tell a story now, but we don't have time for funny stories. Next time. Come afterwards. It's about me not finishing interschools rugby. And the one thing about interschools is when the first team rugby wins, everyone wins. It's like no matter if your team lost or every team lost, when the first team rugby wins, like, oh, we all win. But there's another sports event that usually happens at interschools. It happens usually the Friday night prior to the Saturday game. It's called the old boys game. Okay? Now, this is those that are no longer in school. They have like little boopies or massive boopies. And they come once a year. They have the time to shine. They put on the gear. It's a rugby match of all ages. They climb in this one team, 15 guys against 15 guys. And then probably about 30 to 40 substitutes, because there's the stretchers going up and down of these old ummies ripping hammies and knees for about 70 minutes, 80 minutes plus. Amen. And the thing about that is, our Christianity is sometimes very much like an old boy rugby match. Once a year, we do something for the team. Once a year, we put on the kit and we come forward and we are like shooting stars. A lot of action, a lot of speed, or not that lot of speed, and a lot of things happen. But actually, it's just a one-hit wonder. But I think it's only a spectator trying to pretend that they're a player, but they're never a part of the team. And I think God has something so much more for us, that we are not a part of a spectator or just an audience of watching the sport, but God has designed every individual to be formed a part of this team, form a part of this family and this body, and have a specific role, not only on one day of the year. Of one day you tell somebody, or hinting towards, would you come to church? Or one day that you have a shining of character and the rest you just go on. But that there's a continual maturing and a walking in the things of God. And we find in Romans 12, verse 4 and 5 says the following. For just as each of us has one body, it's speaking about a physical body with many members, about an arm and a leg and a lung and a liver, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. When it comes to the kingdom of God, there's no spectators. The arm doesn't go on its own. The leg doesn't go on its own. You have a specific function in the kingdom of God. And God has knitted us together, if you form a part of this body, to have a specific role and function. Amen. Next, I want to say, we can put up the next slide. It says that God is the power giver of the gifts. When it comes to actively being involved on Team Jesus in the kingdom of God, that everything we do and everything we are is the driving force behind that is the Holy Spirit, is God. And the great example of this is actually in the person of Jesus Christ, who was fully God, 100% God, but also 100% man. He was truly God and he was truly man on the earth. And then for a moment in time, he laid aside certain God or divine attributes and took on human form and weakness, but he lived a life of fully dependence on the Lord, and the things and the ministry that he did on the earth, he did by being connected and abiding in a living relationship with the Father, being empowered by the Holy Spirit. He healed the sick and signs, wonders, and miracles, and he did good. And we find after his baptism, when the Holy Spirit ascended upon him, Luke 4:1 says, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led, not by his own accord, but by the Spirit into the wilderness. And then we know in the wilderness he was tested, and he passed the three tests, and then he was ministered by angels. And then in verse 14, it continues to say, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He returned in the power of the Spirit. Acts 10 verse 38 says the following, and it speaks about how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healed all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. I love this verse. I love this verse because it speaks about how God empowered Jesus not only for signs, wonders, and miracles, not only to cast out demons, not only to raise the dead, but to do good. There's no good that comes from us except from God. That anything we do, you helping a lady across the street, or you trying to show the character or the being of Christ through you, is the power of God needing to work goodness in you. God is the driving force for us participating on Team Jesus. But Acts 1 verse 8 says the following, when Jesus speaks to his disciples and ultimately speaks to us, he says, but you, my disciples, will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. When I come upon you, you will receive power. Something will happen to you. You will be changed. You will be empowered to be my people. And we know when looking at these people, the significant effect what it had when the Holy Spirit started to work in a group of people, how the miraculous broke out, how people got saved in the thousands on the day of Pentecost because of the work of Christ. But what is for me significant is who these people were. They were fearful. They ran away when their rabbi was being crucified. They were insecure. They were prideful. They were sinful. Yet, God took these insignificant, nameless, faceless people and he put his spirit upon them and something happened. And I want to say, why not us? Because if I can define us sitting in this hall, in some ways, I can also say, what a fearful bunch. What an insecure bunch. And I'm counting myself 100% in this. What a bunch of sinners. What a bunch of, in a sense, selfish human beings we are. But God, when God takes a group like us, and takes us and saves us and start to form Christ within us and uses us for his plans and purposes, I want to say, God, I'm here. I'm putting my hand up. Come and blow your spirit within us. Come and do something significant within us that the whole world would watch us burn for the Lord. That there's something that Christ wants to come and do, not only to be spectators in a great and beautiful building, but he wants to come and do something significant in a people. That ultimately that the world will watch us shine, and then we will say, it's God. It's our God. He's lifted up. He's glorified. My Father is glorified when you bear much fruit. Father, I want to pray that we would bear much fruit for your glory and your kingdom. But I want to say, when it comes to the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit, God, is given to us. And the Holy Spirit is the gift. That Jesus had to go, because if he didn't go, the Holy Spirit wouldn't come. But when the Holy Spirit came, he is a gift to us. The Bible speaks about that he is the Parakletos, the one who comes alongside the helper, the servant, the one that is to come. But I want to say that as he is the gift, he brought along with him additional gifts. And then he handed it out as pleased. You can read that in 1 Corinthians 12. We'll go into that in detail probably at the later stage. But I want to say likewise, when it comes to you, you are a gift. Yes, you might have additional gifts. Yet you might have additional things that you can bring to the party. You might have quite a lot of them, and you might be a quite a gifted person, but you, in your totality, and how the Lord has formed you and put you together, how he's made your personality, how he showed you comfort in the area where you needed comfort, and how you can start to comfort others, you're a gift. And I think this is so important that we view people that way, because otherwise, when we see certain people, and actually gifted people, come into the local church, we want what they have rather for who they are. And that is using people rather for loving them for who they are. I think the kingdom of God is functional and relational at the same time. Yes, it is functional that we need to function in our gifts, and our body needs to be mature, and we need to function so that the body can work properly and build itself up in love according to Ephesians 4. There is function involved, but there's also relationship and love involved. That we love you just as you are, with your gifts, but you are a gift to the body. Next point I want to share is that spirit-filled serving or ministry or being a part of Team Jesus is like going to work with your Heavenly Father. And why I share that is because the other day, I have definitely not green fingers to work in the garden. I quite suck at that, to be honest. That's not my gift. I have a lot of other things, but I don't have the gift of making plants grow. I have the gift of making them die, but not grow. But to be a good husband, write this down. Gentlemen, write this down. Wives love a pretty house. And one of those things is sometimes a pretty garden. So I took up the call of God as a great husband to petition him in prayer and say, God, help me with this garden. And one day I decided to start to build a little garden, and there's some plants, and we planted some flowers and just things there, and we watered it. And one day I was looking after Mia, and I decided I'm just going to go work in the garden. I'm going to bring her with me. And we went outside, and she crawled there to the garden, and something in her heart was like, I'm going to help my dad. I'm 11 months old, but I'm going to help him. And she crawls there to the garden. And I was busy pulling out just as weeds and things coming out. And there was a lot of rocks because it rained the previous night. And there was wind that blew over. And I took all of those things out. And I took the hose pipe and I was busy there. But while I was busy with all of those things, Mia was very busy. She crawled to the edge of the garden. And she put her little, super little hands in the ground, and she picked it up and she squeezed it, and it went through all her fingers, and she's like, awesome. And then she went again and again, and later on the ground and the gravel and things is all over her white, she had white pants on, all over that. And then every now and then, as I'm busy watering, I'm like, no, and then I run to the side and I need to take my finger in her mouth because there's rocks in there, and I get all of the rocks out of her mouth, and just like, you're gonna die, stop that. And then I go back again, and when we were finished there, the whole mouth was like full of mud, and her hair, she has this weird thing that she does when she's bored, she just goes, and she just like puts all of that muddy dirt in her hair, and it was crazy. But I want to ask the question that, did I take Mia with me because I needed Mia, or because I love Mia? Likewise, in the kingdom of God, did she get it wrong? I needed Mia. I suck in gardening. But likewise, in the kingdom of God, does God take us along the ride to serve because he needs us or because he loves us? That there's something in God that he takes us along the ride to get to know us. That experience of Mia was a moment of knowing her and she knowing her father. As she's watching me watering the plants, as she's busy in the garden with me, as I'm helping her not dying, as we're doing all of these certain things, we grow in relationship with one another. I want to say likewise in the kingdom of God, God is at work. And we find in John 5:17 that Jesus says, my Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working. That at this very moment, God the Father is working on the earth. He's uprooting sin. He's saving people. He's unburdening people. He's delivering them. He's maturing them. God is building his church and all of those things, and we are just tagging along for the ride. God does not need us. He is God, all-powerful, all-knowing. He knows the best, and he can do it the best. But out of love, he chooses to use us and to pull us into the team and work in us and through us, not just to get the job done because he could do it himself, but for the sake of relationship, for the sake of knowing one another. And by saying that, shouldn't serving in the kingdom of God and playing on Team Jesus actually be such a joy rather than a burden? And I think sometimes we take on so much burdens on ourselves because we think it's up to us. I want to say God is doing the heavy lifting. Armand thinks he's good in worship. Without God, he's nothing. And he knows that. That's why I can say it up front. Likewise, none of you can save anyone. My preach today is meaningless in the course of eternity if God is not involved today. Meaningless. I'm wasting my time. If God is not doing his heavy lifting, we are just burdening ourselves. So I want to say with that, serving is a great blessing because we get to know our Father in action. Otherwise, Christianity stays theory. If there's no doing, if there's no action. And I actually want to say that there's no maturing without serving. Because ultimately, we never put it into practice. There's no way that we can trust the Lord to be generous if we don't, in a sense, put our faith out there. If we have the gift of generosity and God wants you to play that role on the team, there's a lot of trust needed and relationship needing to be built. But we need to start somewhere. If the Lord wants you to be a leader in his household, I want to say sterkte, strongs. It is not an easy journey. To be honest, I think everybody desires the microphone because it looks glamorous and it looks great. I want to say I would rather be on that side. And I'm honest before the Lord. My TV screen will show on that last day. I want to say the Lord needs to take us through a journey, but we need to apply ourselves. And I'm not saying that I don't love what I'm doing, but this is the sword that the Lord has given me and my life to shape me and mold me into a living relationship. This is the place where I'm mostly dependent on him and where I'm mostly being shaped in my character and looking like him. He uses leadership. But for some of us, he could use anything else. But we need to serve and apply ourselves to that. And I want to say that when I mean serving, I'm not saying a Sunday. Our Christianity is not limited to a 2 or 3 hours on a Sunday. Okay? I'm not speaking about, praise the Lord for Koki on Ivy. Yeah. He's fulfilling his call in God. I'm not speaking just about preaching. I'm not speaking just about worship. But there's so much more that we could serve the Lord. In being generous, in being hospitable, in opening up our homes or our flats and allowing people to come in. That is practicing your gifts. The gift of encouragement, to be an encouragement to other people, does not take place only on a Sunday, but continually you're on the lookout where I can encourage others. There's a gift of serving, of service. How can I help? Where do you want to help? Anywhere. You probably have the gift of serving. I want to say that there's so much more than just limiting to a Sunday. The gifts are for mutual encouragement. The next point. I have two more, then I'm done. Romans speaks about, and Paul writes to a church and he says, I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gifts to make you strong. Isn't that incredible that this is the Apostle Paul that wants to come, one of the, if not the most gifted person that we know about in Scripture, and he comes and he says, I want to come to you with my spiritual gifts and I want to build you up. I would say, hallelujah, Paul, come to my church. Come and take the stage. Come and, in a sense, flourish with your gifts in front of us of teaching and of being in the apostolic. Come, Paul. But then he says something interesting and he continues to say, that is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. He's saying that if everyone serves, everyone benefits and everyone wins. That this incredible man says that when I long to be with you, yes, that I might bless you with what the Lord has placed in me, but I know that I will be blessed because I'm not the full picture by you. And I think I thought about a picture to demonstrate this, and the only thing I could think about is the picture of an apple tree. A massive, strong, giving a lot of shade apple tree. And as that apple tree bears a lot of fruit, he doesn't become puffed up and look at it, you say, I'm a massive apple tree and I love my fruits. And then you check out that apple tree and he starts to eat his own fruit. That would be strange and I would run, okay? It would be like a fiction movie. But an apple tree that is strong and has a lot of shade and has great and nice apples and fruit that it bears is always the full extent of, in a sense, his calling as an apple tree is to provide that for others. That apple tree will only walk in the fullness of what God has designed that apple tree to be is when others come and find shade underneath that. When they come and find shelter in the trees and the high and find protection there. When they start to eat and find nutrition from the apples, they start to benefit from taking part of the gift that apple tree is. Likewise, in the kingdom of God, every single one of us needs to bring your gift, needs to bring your position on the team. You need to function as a healthy member in the body of Christ so that we all can be built up in Christ. And it is the most sucky thing when of what I do is when people come to me and say, Henry, I want to leave. And we have a coffee and they sit with me and they're like, I want to leave this church. And the most normal thing that anyone would probably ask is, why? Why do you want to leave? What happened? What's up? What's happening in your heart? And many times, and I wrote some things down here, is I don't feel close to anyone. I don't feel connected. I don't feel a part of the group. I don't have any relationships. I feel actually like an outsider. I have imposter syndrome. That I feel like in a big crowd like this, I feel like an imposter. And it's difficult to say in that moment something, but what I want to scream at them in that moment is, start serving. Start serving. Start to bring your apples forward. Give it to people. Start to serve them. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Start to open your home. Because as you do that, you will start to... What is hospitality? The gift of hospitality is to open up your home for strangers. That's the definition. So as you open up your home for strangers and practice the gift of hospitality, and maybe you don't even have the gift, just try it. Open up your home. Make a meal for somebody. Prepare a table, invite them in. You create space to bless them. They will be blessed when you open your home. They will be blessed by your food. They will be blessed by the brekje that you baked throughout the night. They will be blessed by you just bringing what you have. But likewise, you will benefit by maybe inviting in a teacher. And the gift of teaching is activated in your midst. And you can start to ask questions. And they answer the question. You're like, that's incredible. I love that. And then they're like, thank you for the broodjie. And you guys both feel like so incredibly attached to one another because both of you brought some word, some bread to the table. One is the spiritual and the other was the physical. But there's something of a relationship that was built. Or maybe you open up your home to an encourager. And from the moment they set foot, not even in your house, they're like, oh, what an awesome house. What an awesome flat. Like, and you like, it's a bachelor's flat and only I can sleep here and my kitchen and toilet and everything is in one room. They're like, no man, there's like plates for 15 in here. And they're just so encouraging and they built you up and they say, love your jeans, love what you did to the wall. I love white walls. And they just like, but the thing is, I love the gift of encouragement because they just built up. They're like the glue of the church. But relationship is built in that moment. And I want to say the gifts are there for mutual encouragement. So if you feel like this, I want to say start somewhere. Bring your gifts. And not as a place like, I will give so I can get back. No. The heart of the kingdom is Christ died on that cross knowing that some people would never accept him. He still paid the price. He still was the gift. He still tried. And I think that is the heart of our God. That even if we don't get back, even if we fail, even one of my primary gifts is leadership. And then I sometimes suck at it. And I hear it. People tell me how I suck at it. And that's okay. Because God, I'm trying. I'm bringing my best. I'm trying to live for you. No, I'm fragile. I read the scripture now in worship. We are broken jars of clay. We are fragile. But through that, Christ wants to display his glory. You will host and you would burn the chicken. We once, like in this year, where's Daniel? Is Daniel here? Where's Daniel? We invited you guys over, but we prepared for the first time. Like, we've never made that meal, but we made for him. And who was the others with? Yeah, Anouk was there. That chicken that we had was so pink inside. Like, that thing failed miserably. But it was a cool night. And we chatted. And, yeah, we ate not the chicken. Later on, the whole thing was just there. But there was a relationship built to imperfect. But anyway, let's carry on. Lastly, I want to end off with this. Last one. Yeah. There we go. Start somewhere. Well, actually, just start anywhere. How do you find your position on Team Jesus? Just start somewhere. And we will go into the next couple of weeks into specifics and specific giftings and just look at Scripture and unpack this. But I'm very much, and I saw it in my own life, that I just applied myself to the process of giving. It's more blessed to give than to receive. So Henry, who are you? What have you been called by God? I don't know. Like I'm saved a week, a month, a year. I don't know. But I just start to serve because Christ serves. And he says that his people will be servants. So I just start to serve. But as I'm on this journey, like Mia, she was born about a year ago. And then in the first week, in the first month, we didn't see what was her personality. We didn't know what is the thing she's going to like or dislike or things like that. But now a year later, we dimly start to see a personality come through. We dimly start to see things that she like and things she dislike, things that pleases her. And we start to see it come through. Likewise, in a spiritual walk, as maturity comes and as you walk with the Lord and as you just apply yourself anywhere and everywhere, you will start to see that you gravitate towards certain gifts. A question I ask young believers is when they don't know what their gifting are, I usually ask, what do you think the church is lacking in? Then some people would say, worship. We suck in worship. Like we never praise enough. We're never good enough. We don't jump high enough. I don't see every hand from the beginning till the end lift up. And then the other guy would be like, just see. that guy noticing that is probably a worshiper. Then the other guy, nobody's helping. I always put up my hand for AV and for sound and for carrying Brigitte's bags, and I carry my own burdens. Like, everything is just, there's so much in this life. You're probably a servant, the gift of serving, because you recognize something in that area. For the teachers in our midst, there's never enough expository teaching. We don't speak about the deep things about life and about Christianity and philosophy. And you're a teacher. Praise the Lord. Welcome to the club. We don't have t-shirts. But, yeah, there's one. Let's talk about Jesus. Yeah, we have a t-shirt. But I want to say, but as every part brings its bit, the body is built up and we start to see the tree grow. So, yeah, let's land it there. I want to ask you to consider the things that are shared. Come before the Lord and say, anywhere, anytime, I just want to start somewhere. And I really think this is not only just a good message for us today, but it's something that I believe I'm picking up in God for us at 6 p.m., that God wants us to excel in the things of God. And I think this is a key for us in our maturity as a church, to give, to start to serve, to start to give of ourselves. Where do I start, Henry? I don't know. Sign up for AV, start to join the band. I don't know. But Henry, I can't sing. No, me either. I signed up for band for 6 months in Wellington. I was on four worship set, and I even led a song. Praise the Lord. Yeah. What did I learn from that? Humility. I'm joking. But start somewhere and start to give of yourself in the Lord. And through that, it might actually be that you join somewhere, you join the band, and you're actually gifted in that, but you never get picked to lead. And then it might be a humbling thing. I want to say that's how you get to know the Lord. Some of you will be thrown into the deep end, like maybe leadership, way premature before your age, like myself. And it feels like every time that I'm thrown in the deep end, I need to learn to swim. But there's something of the dependency that I get through that, of abiding in the Lord, that I am not sure why, but that's how it plays out in my life. Always the deep end, never fully qualified, but then the Lord says, run, go, do. But I grow in character, I grow in humility, I grow in the things of God, and let's do that together. Amen. Let's stand.
No, I just thought I could do it afterwards, but Henry said thanks. I'm just thinking about the scripture. I think it's in James where he writes, what good is it for a man to look into the mirror and see that there is hair sticking out or anything? I feel like I need to sing now. You don't have to play. Sorry. I'm going to go into my band, which is worship. but thank you. I see that gift in at hand. So, what good is it? Like, is there any one of you that go, especially the ladies, the guys are maybe different. You go and look in the mirror, you go like, look, my hair is sticking out, or there's a little bit of slop in my work. And then you go, huh. And then you just go out with your day. No, I'm sure you go and you take out the slop or whatever. And I think this is such a key word for us. And I think we need to not just only look at it and go like, okay, that was the person next to me. Or I hear what you say, cheers. No, but we should actually, if God is using Henry as a vessel to speak to us tonight, and this is a key for us as a congregation, then we need to go, okay, cool. Where am I going to put my hand down? What am I going to do? And I thought of a very cool encouragement for us in Corinthians. Paul writes, he says, when we come together, each one of you has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue or an interpretation. But in everything, we must do it so that the church can be built up. And I want to say this, that our motivation is firstly this, we love Jesus. Our second thing is, I love you. Yes, look to the person next to you and just say, no, you don't have to. But you love the person, and the guys and the girls are like, it's a bit too early. But you love the person, and I want to give you guys this thing, whatever it's called. When you go out of these doors tonight, we're going to have calm on Wednesday. Yes, eh? Am I wrong? Calm on Wednesday. You're going to be in social settings or whatever. Again, this is not just to a Sunday. Ask the Lord, how can I build up the people I'm going to spend time with? And can I give them a cup of water? Can I buy them a coffee? Can I give them an encouragement word? Can I give them a scripture? You know, you don't have to go like, Jesus, give me a word. You can just go like, hey, I'm going to encourage you with a scripture. Like, what can you do? Andrew speaks about the good, the pleasant, the good, the pleasant, and the perfect will of God. You know, sometimes we just have to start with the good. What's in front of me? How can I, what can I do? An encouragement, a message tomorrow morning to someone, buying someone something random, whatever it is, that builds up the person next to you. So can I give us that thing, what I don't know what it's called, that encouragement, that task is horrible, not a task. Mission, command, no, it's not a command, but that mission, like, yay, we got out of this, and our first thought is this, God, what can I do? And just do one thing, start with that one thing, one person, at community or at the social or whatever. And let's build one another up. Simply, we don't have to have these big, massive gifts. We can start. It's only, this is, we do this because we want to love one another. And through that, people will see that we are His disciples. Amen.
Yeah. So let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your faithfulness, Lord. Actually, that You say in Your word that You will complete the work that You've started within us, Lord. And Father, I pray that You would come and form and shape something within us, God, that we would not only be those that are great hearers of the word, but we will be doers. And I love that scripture, Lord, that we are the handiwork of God, that we've been formed and put together with our, in a sense, weirdness, but our personalities and our extrovertness and our introvertness, God, and our different gifts and our different hobbies, our pasts, and all of those things, You've knitted us as the handiwork of God to do. That You've laid out good works for us, that You've prepared beforehand for us to walk in. And Father, I trust that on that last day, that You would be able to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. You've walked in the things that I have for You, and You've used it for My glory, and You've used it for My purpose, and I have been glorified much because of Your fruit. And Father, I trust that we would be good apple trees, handing out fruit daily, nutrition daily, providing shade daily, providing comfort and encouragement daily, that there would be, we won't be just shooting stars and one-hit wonders, but that there would be a daily of a giving of ourselves. And Holy Spirit, I pray that You would empower us. And even in this moment, Holy Spirit, I pray that You would come and reveal positions on Team Jesus for individuals. Maybe even that question, what is the things that you feel the church needs more of? Maybe that's your gift. Maybe the Lord is putting that in your heart that you need to be that. Not just wait for the theoretical, the church to do that. But you're a part of that. Maybe you need to start to teach. Maybe you need to start to open up your home. Maybe you need to be a friend to somebody else. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And I do want to end this evening. If you are visiting us with all eyes closed, I want to give you an opportunity to respond to the Lord. And maybe you don't know Jesus. You've heard this message, and yes, it's very much a family message. It's a message about for those that are already a part of Team Jesus. But maybe you've heard the scripture in Isaiah that speaks about that your sin separates you from God, that it's your sin and your iniquity that creates a distance between you and God. And something struck in your heart to say, that's me. That I am separated from God. That I am not in right with the Lord. That I am actually not at peace with God. I want to say the Lord is knocking on the door of your heart and saying, my hand is not too short to save. And that there is a day appointed for salvation, to be saved, to be made right with God, and it's today. I want to ask, if that's you, would you just indicate by raising your hand to say, I'm not right with God, but I want to be. And if that's you, I would love to pray for you. Is there anyone like that? All eyes closed. There's a gentleman to my right, your left. Some of the leaders can just gather there. Christian, can you just... Anyone else? Don't want to rush this moment. Here in the middle, a lady as well. Here on the left as well. And I want to say yes. Yes, through salvation, the Lord provides freedom. Freedom from anxiety. Freedom from all of these things that cling on so close to us. But I want to say, God died for the ultimate thing, and that is for your sins. Jesus died to bring you close. To, in a sense, that distance between you and Him, to bring you in right relationship with Him. And no longer when the Lord looks at you, He looks at you through the eyes of your sin and your brokenness, but He sees Christ. That is the picture of baptism. That as we are baptized into water, we are reconciled and baptized and united with Christ, but not only in His death, but in His resurrection. That no longer is our identity sinner or lost one or guilty, but it's accepted. It's son, it's daughter of the Most High God. I want to give you a couple of seconds that you pray to the Lord. It's an easy and a short prayer to say sorry and thank you. Lord, I'm sorry for my sins. I'm sorry for the years of actually living apart from you. But Father, I thank you that tonight is the night that you're opening up my eyes to forgive my sins. And that from tonight, I am a son, I'm a daughter of God. I'm brought into right relationship with God, but also brought into a new family. We want to say welcome to the family. In Jesus' name.